Go ahead and open up in your Bible with me again this morning to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We've been going through the life of Moses, and we're going to bring that all the way to its conclusion today. But I will say, I've been enjoying preaching through the life of Moses. Moses was an exceptional leader. By the power of God and through Moses' hands and by his staff, mighty miracles were performed. When you think about the 10 plagues that came to Egypt, if you think about the parting of the Red Sea, water coming out of the rock, and all of those sorts of things. Really, apart from Jesus, Moses was the greatest miracle worker in the Bible. Under his leadership, God supernaturally provided even the basic needs of his people while they were being tested for 40 years in the wilderness. Most of us know about the manna and the quail that they received every day, but Deuteronomy 29 and verse 5 says, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness, and your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out from your feet." Earlier in Deuteronomy said, "And your feet didn't even swell." Just all this supernatural leadership that we see in Moses. Moses' leadership style matched the need of the nation during those 40 years. Moses led very diplomatically. He was leading just these thousands of people that lived their lives completely, their entire lives as slaves. Just, you know, somebody telling them what to do every moment of their day and how to live their life. Moses patiently sat and judged the people as they grumbled through the long years in the desert. But by the time the Israelites reached Canaan, fierce enemies awaited them. So a much more confrontational leader, a military man skilled in war, was needed for this moment. Which leads us to Joshua chapter 1. Would you stand with me as we read God's word together? Joshua 1:1 begins this way: "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it night and day, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you teach all of us today how to successfully transition through different phases and different seasons of life. That, Father, that none of us would be left behind or none of us would get stuck in some former era or that we would lament former days, but Father, that we would always look forward to what you have for our lives. Father, I'm so reminded today that when you said, let there be light, that light just continues to go forward and create, and that our universe that we live in is ever expanding and growing and going forward. Father, I pray that none of us lives our lives in the past or longing for former days, but that we would look forward with hope and anticipation. What you have yet for us to accomplish, what you have yet for us to enjoy in our lives. Father, I pray today that every single one of us would be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go ahead and be seated. I mean, the opening of Joshua reminds all of us that Moses has passed away. So the first thing that God says to the people is, Moses is dead. Well, they all knew that. But why do you think he stated that fact again? Because think about this. They lived through this time of all of this just supernatural provision. They saw these wondrous miracles that happened. And now the leader is gone. And God said to them, Moses is dead. As much as we desire for things to never change, they always do. They always do. What our longing for the good old days is such a waste of time. It's such a waste of energy. The good old days are gone. And like somebody that in the very, very beginning days of our church was part of our congregation, and they, you know, decades ago moved to South Missouri, he used to say this, yeah, back in the good old days when things were bad. So there's no sense longing for something you can never have again anyway. Moses is dead. It's a new season. It's a new era. Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19 say this, do not remember the former days, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Look, I enjoyed very much having all four of our children living at home, and looking back, I you know, the noise and the fighting and the fussing, but there was some fun in there too. And as much as we long for that, we don't want our children to grow up and leave home. They do. And so many people get stuck in that. They just think, I don't know how I'm going to survive when my daughter or my son leaves home to go away to college. We were watching a movie, and that was the whole storyline of this young lady that was getting ready to graduate high school, and they wanted her to stay home and go to college at home and not go away. But you know what? Moses is dead. You know, that era of life is over. And we're not intended to be stuck there. We're not intended to just that our life is now over because something has changed. There's something new. There's something glorious. I mean, think about this, because Whitney went away and grew up and developed her own life. Then she got married and we get grandbabies out of it. Come on, life is good. Moses is dead, but it's okay. That era of life is over. There's something new that's wonderful ahead of us. You just got to get that out of your head, that I got to hang on to this. You can't hang on to it. It's going to change anyway. It's beyond your ability to control it. The thing we notice here is that what God promises. What did God promise the people? He promised them a territory. And he gave them the parameters of that territory. And they had not yet stepped foot on it. It was all a mystery to them. It was just a promise. They'd been roaming around between the Red Sea and the land of Canaan for 40 years. And God said, It's now time for you to step your foot and go possess the land that I am giving you. What did God say? He said, I'm giving you the land. That's why it's called the promised land. Because God promised to give it to them. But this is how faith works. You have to go possess even what God promised you. It begins with the word of the Lord. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. So faith begins when the will of God is known. Faith begins when we hear what God said. What did God say to them? But this wasn't the first time God said it. He said the same thing to them 40 years previously. He sent out in Numbers 13, he sent out a leader from all the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent them in Numbers 13 into the land to go, what? Spy out the land that I am giving to you. I'm giving you the land. Go spy it out. Go check it out for yourselves and see if it's not everything I told you it was. And they came back. They came back with a report and said, it truly is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I mean, the grapes are huge there. It's a productive, prosperous land. But 10 out of the 12 spies came back and said, we can't do what God said we could do. 10 out of the 12 came back and said, there's absolutely no way we can do this. There are giants in the land. There are fortified cities, walled cities there. I mean, they have armies and we're a bunch of slaves. We can't do this. And they were right. They can't, they didn't, and they died in the wilderness. So God gives another opportunity to another generation and says it's time to set your foot on the land and take possession of it. The land that I'm giving to you. I'm giving you the land. But whatever God promises us, we still have to go take possession of it. We still have to step out in faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And faith just simply believes what God says will come to pass. And so he says, and that's why I think he used the language of every place where the sole of your foot treads. Because you have to go. You have to be, the faith and obedience is so closely tied together. And you have to step out when you have nothing else underfoot than what God told you to do. That's all you have. You have no more guarantee than God's word. Did you catch the absurdity of that statement? You have no guarantee except God said. God said, this is your land, but you're going to have to go walk it out. And that's how it works with faith. Faith begins by hearing what God says, and then it takes acts of obedience. We have to step out every place where the sole of your foot will tread. The doing part, the doing part is what separates posers from real men and women of faith. Like, I love to worship. I really do. I love to worship. I love to sing. But you could come in and sing. You can cry. You could be moved to tears. You could be moved to extreme amounts of joy and exhilaration. But it doesn't mean much to just be moved emotionally by God or the things of God. Because James chapter 1 says this about that fact, but the doers of the word of God and not, be ye doers of the word of God and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You can be a hearer of the word of God. You can be moved emotionally by that fact. You can be moved to tears. You can be moved to laughter. You can be moved to shouts of joy and exaltation. But if on Monday morning You go right back into your old life and never do anything that you heard from the Word of God, then you are a hearer only and not a doer of the Word of God. The doing part is what separates us. The doing part is what matters. It takes faith to please God, and faith believes that what God said is true and that I need to now do something about that. That's faith. Amen. Now, look. Multiple times he told them, be strong and of good courage. Three times in this passage you see that language. Be strong and of good courage. Now, if God tells us to be strong and to have courage, then there's going to be many opportunities in life to be weak and afraid. If God has to say something three times, do you think they're being set up a little bit? Like, oh my gosh, what are we facing? God keeps saying, be strong and of good courage. Don't you think they're getting a little bit afraid of that now? Like, why is he saying this to us? Why is he saying, be strong and have good courage? Because they're going to have every opportunity to be weak and afraid. But the good news is, if God says, be strong and have good courage, that means that Jehovah Yireh, the one who sees, the Lord our provider, the one who sees ahead of time and is working on our behalf behind the scenes, that if we step out in obedience and we just do what God told us to do. This lady, you know, we had one couple when we started this little faith venture in St. Joseph. She said, how did all these people find out about coming last night? I said, don't know. I don't know. All I know is God told us to do something, and so we just stepped out in obedience, and we start walking this out, and when we get there, then there's the provision. Then there it is. So if God says be strong and of good courage, then he knows something that we don't know, that he's working behind the scenes, and if we just step out and do what God told us to do, then he's going to meet us in that place so we can be strong and we can have good courage because God's going to do it. But we have this great temptation and this great opportunity to be weak and afraid. Weakness and fear then are an enemy. Weakness and fear, come on somebody, are the opposite of what God told us to be. Now, so many people embrace their weaknesses and all the time are announcing their fears to the entire world. And that's the exact opposite of what God said to do. Weakness and fear are not to be embraced. That is not to be our identity. That is not something we're supposed to be broadcasting to the world on our social media. That is something to be resisted. James 4 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't announce all of your fears and don't broadcast all of your weaknesses. We all have them. But they are to be resisted, just like Satan is to be resisted. See, Satan, don't get this red suit and you know, pitchfork and long tail and whatever else in your mind. Get things like fear and weakness as a picture of Satan. If God three times said, be strong and of good courage, then what he called us to do is going to require strength and courage. That's what we grab a hold of. That's what we attach ourselves to, not weakness and fear. Amen. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. It's the realization of the things hoped for. It's the evidence. It's the confidence of things not seen. It's the confidence of things not seen. When you don't have the thing yet, you have this confidence that comes from what God said. And you're going to step out and act like it's so. You know, our first thought in converting this little building is we better wait and see, like, how many people show up. And then faith kicked in and said, no, we need to get this building ready for the people that are coming, because that's what God said. You see what I'm saying? Which requires a lot of money, by the way. So don't be surprised if you get a letter in the mail this week, okay? Moses led a group of former slaves through a season of severe wilderness testing. Joshua then steps forward to lead this next generation through a season of conquest and victory. It's an entirely different season. It's an entirely different scenario. They are now going to take possession of the land that God promised to them 40 years earlier. Now, think about this. Moses, this great miracle worker. You do have to think. Moses is irreplaceable. That is true. Moses is completely irreplaceable. But they don't need Moses now. They need Joshua now. And Joshua's never going to be Moses. He never was Moses. Never tried to be Moses. 25 years ago, my parents passed the church off to Michelle and me, and people thought it was a disastrous decision. And some didn't make the journey. Come on. And thought, there's no way. Stan is obviously not Gene and Linda. Never have been. Never will be. Never even tried to be. But it was a different season, a different time. And all I can say is it looks like the Lord blessed that decision. Moses was a great miracle worker, but some of you might not be thinking what a great miracle worker that Joshua was. Joshua's first miracle, they walk around the walls of Jericho 7 times and shout, and the walls fall down. Pretty good one. They're in the middle of the battle one day and said, man, we could win this if we had a couple more hours of daylight. Joshua says, okay, hey, God, could you cause the sun to stand still? Don't ask me about the whole science of that, okay? Because I can't explain that. But that's a pretty big miracle, extending the day a couple of hours. Are you listening to me? Joshua was a miracle worker also. But this new season required a new leader. Go back with me to Numbers 14. Numbers 14 and verse 1. So we go back to this initial opportunity to take the promised land. And here's the report that comes back from the people, from the 12 spies. Numbers 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voice, and they cried, and the people wept. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation had said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us out here to slaughter? Verse 4, so they said to one another, let's select a leader and go back to Egypt. I've got to pause and preach here for just a moment. I never, ever, 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 ever understand people going back to the world. The world, Egypt represents the world. It represents all the bondage, all the slavery, all the nonsense of a former life. And I'm telling you what, people have this really crazy idea that if I follow Jesus, all my problems are solved. I'll never have a bad day. I'll never have another challenge. And I just expect, you know, Jesus just to prevent things from happening in my life. And then when they face challenges and they face setbacks and they face opposition, they go, well, just forget it then. I'm going to go back to the bar. Or I'm going to go back to whatever. I'm going to go back to Egypt. Well, there's nothing in the Word of God that's going to ever promise you, if you start following Christ, problem solved, you'll never have another, you know, down day ever again. That's just not there. It's not reality. It's not right. But that's what people do. I mean, what about your former life do you really want back? Let's just be logical here for a moment. What would be better if you just didn't know Jesus and you didn't have a relationship with the Lord? What in your life would improve if you just got rid of that and you just pick up the leader and let's go back to our old life? So let's just get that out of our heads and let's just go forward. How about? Even if it's hard, it's a lot better than it used to be. It's a lot better life than we used to have. And we have a lot better life today because we started following Jesus some years ago, even if there's trouble right in front of us right now. Because if we didn't have Jesus, we really wouldn't have a clue how to deal with this. So you might as well just go back and just get drunk and just get it over with. That numb your brain. But you know, when you wake up, the problem's still there. You didn't solve anything. You just escaped for a few moments. So let's just get that out of our head that we're going back to Egypt. Let's just go forward. Can I get a better amen? Let's go forward with the things of God, even if it's a hard day, even if it's a challenging day, even if it's a new day. Let's don't even be thinking about going back to Egypt. So long story short, all these people said, there's no way we can go in and take this land. We should have just died in the wilderness, and that's exactly what they got. Every one of them died in the wilderness except two. Except two. I said except two of them. Verse 6 says, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, who were among the spies, tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And the people said, yes, amen, you're right. You reminded us that we can do what God said. No, they picked up rocks and said, we need to kill these guys and shut them up. I want you to notice one verse, verse 24 of chapter 14. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Did you notice that? Caleb, and obviously Joshua, had a different spirit. They followed God fully, and they believed that what God said is true. And both of them then are standing at this moment in Joshua 1. And God says, there it is, the land I would have let you enjoy 40 years ago. But the process is still going to be the same. You still have to go in. You still have work to do. You still have enemies to face. You still have to go in and take possession of the land. So this time, be strong. Have good courage. This time, put God's word in your mouth. And you just keep saying repeatedly, day and night, when you go out, when you come in, don't let the word of God depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. Does anybody understand how worry works? How does worry work? What is the process of worry? All day long, you keep thinking and keep saying, I don't think this is going to work out. I think something bad is going to happen. Oh my gosh, I am so afraid that blank, 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 blank. And all day long, you keep thinking and you keep speaking. You get on the phone and call your mom. I am so worried about this. da-da-da-da-da-da. Or you text your friend, I'm so worried, I'm so afraid, oh my gosh, I don't know, I think my kids are going to hell, da-da-da-da. Whatever, you just keep repeating these negative thoughts, all of this weakness and all of this fear, you just keep running the scenario over and over and over again, and you keep talking about it, come on somebody. But that's how faith works in the opposite. You just keep saying over and over and over again what God said to you in His Word or what God said to you in your time of prayer. Are you listening to me? And you just keep saying what God said over and over and over and over again. And it will cause you to be strong. It will cause you to have great courage. Are you listening to me? And then I will make your way, Joshua 1:20, I will make your way prosperous. And then you'll have good success. When? After you've meditated on the Word of God and you keep saying over and over and over again, it will give you the courage to do what God told you to do. Then you will go in and take possession of the land. That's how faith works. Joshua and Caleb said, we can go, we will go, God will give us victory, we will take possession of the land, and two out of millions went in. Because they had a different spirit. All right. Fast forward. And let's wrap this up today. Joshua 14. You're in Numbers 14. So go forward to Joshua chapter 14. So here's Joshua. Joshua's 80 years old. I don't know if age and all of that is equal to age today, but let's just understand all of his contemporaries died in the wilderness. So he is older. As a matter of fact, we had a lady that came to our church service last night. She was 85 years old. She looked 70 or younger. And she'd gone with my mom on 4 trips to Honduras. And Michelle said something to her about going to Nicaragua next summer. She says, oh, I'm probably too old for that. I looked at her and thought, I'll take you over a lot of 30-year-olds that I know. She won't grumble. She won't complain. She'll be up and at them and ready to go every day. And other people are going, I don't like beans, or whatever. Get over it. You're in Central America. You're going to have some beans, all right? Joshua 14, verse 6, and the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, never mind. You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back the word to him. As was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up and made the heart of the people melt. And I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever. Because you have fully, wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he has said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now my strength for war. Both for going out and coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how that Anakim was there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me. And I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his inheritance. For 30 years, Michelle and I have led this congregation Hopefully, I believe so, it was the leadership style that was necessary for that season. And it has been a great season of growth and victory for our church and for many of your lives personally. But it is a new season. It's a new day. New leaders are needed. A different leadership style will bring a new season. Listen to me, and I want this recorded, and it is. A different leadership style will bring a new season of victory and growth. Chad and Courtney are the God-chosen leaders for this time and for this place. 25 years ago, Michelle and I were Joshua. Let me just say, in this story, we're not Moses. Because we ain't dead. When we took over the leadership of this wonderful church family, but let me just say, it's another Joshua generation. New Joshuas are rising up. In this present story, Michelle and I are Caleb. Except we're not 85 either. But it's time for us to take a new mountain that God promised us. He put in our heart a few years ago, one church with 10 locations, and we're more than a third of the way there in 3 years. So we must now go and plant the church in St. Joseph, and we will do so. We will establish. Last night there was a young lady there. She said, "I've been praying that you or somebody like you'd show up." And we heard that over and over and over again. We will establish another strong church location and more to come during this decade of growth and multiplication. It has been the greatest pleasure of serving you as pastors. It will be our delight to continue serving you in a new capacity. Please help Chad and Courtney keep this church strong and healthy. I believe they will lead you in a great new season of growth and victory, and together we're all doing something great for God and something that will bless people greatly throughout northern Missouri. God bless you.